What is up, our friends from the internet? It's once again time for the Tech Yak Games podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my professional co-host, Leo.
A professional, always. Happy to be here, as always.
Always a professional. Cool, collected, and ready to record. Right.
That's
on
what
time,
people say about
time.
Me.
Yeah, for sure. I believe it. How's your week going, Leo?
It's good. I had some family in town, which was actually kind of fun. It was my mom, who's, you know, older, obviously. She's not super into gaming, but she knows it's an important part of my life, so it was kind of fun sharing some of the stuff I was playing with her. I like to sort of show her the new fancy stuff, because she's always like, whoa, I remember when it was way shittier. So that's always been kind of fun. Yeah, it's pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, my week was okay. I didn't have any elderly family in town to show video games, but it makes me want to buy my dad a PS5 when you talk about that, because I'm just like,
yeah,
he would really like... He might not ever play it, but he would get a kick out of it, you know, like, because, man, I can remember growing up him just playing so much Tetris, like NES Tetris, like nonstop for hours. And I was like, just think what he would think of, like, Tetris Effect if he played it, you know, like, just like visually and like what that game has become.
Yeah. Or the other side is, you might just be like, oh, it's like Tetris.
Yeah, cool. It's still Tetris. What is the point of all this?
Yeah, this does not feel like 30 years of evolution, but okay.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's because he was a Russian asset, and that's why he was so into Tetris. I don't know. I can't say. Yeah, I can't say. You know, true or false.
That tracks.
It could be the case. I don't know. I haven't looked into his history enough, but otherwise, my week's been, you know, pretty chill. Luckily, it's gotten a little bit cooler this week, at least these past couple days, because it was scorching out here for a while. So that's good. And yeah, just hanging out with the dog. Playing some games.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's been doesn't sound good. Like a bad life, Tony. Sounds pretty good.
It's not too bad. Other than that, I just feel like I'm always trapped in my apartment with, like, working from home and everything. Like, I'm not trapped. Yeah. I can leave, but I just don't, you know.
Especially when it's hot. It can feel very, very oppressive.
Yeah, for sure. But outside of that, Leo, why don't you tell me what games you've been playing?
Well, I'm sorry to report. I didn't really play anything new.
Bullshit.
No, you'll be shocked to hear that. I played some more Resident Evil 3, which, again, I've talked a lot about. But what was fun, speaking of having sort of an outside perspective, is I did get to show my mom, like, I showed her the original, and then I showed her this, which is a kind of a fun, very clear delineation between, you know, it's just such a clear, tangible example of, you know, same company, same concept, same tone, same everything, only, you know, 25 years later, 20 years later, however much it's been. And that was cool. It really, and even... Like we've talked about in the past, even just having an outside perspective kind of made me even more enthusiastic about it, you know? Like explaining something can kind of make you fall back in love with it. So I actually had a really good time being like, look, here's how they updated the character and the writing. And it was like, damn, this is really cool. Sometimes you forget video games are really pretty awesome these days.
Yeah, it's amazing what goes into producing a video game these days, right? Like, you know, I mean, I'm a little older than you, but I think about my past playing video games and just like, you know, what the music was good. Like there was good video game music growing up.
For but, sure.
You know, full orchestral scores now for video games and giant art departments full of just like tons of talented artists, like making all these assets that just look beautiful and beautiful box art and background art and concept art. And, and just the writing teams of writers trying to write these, like it really is, amazing what goes into this medium and like what they can produce.
Yeah, it really is. And even one thing I noticed this time playing through this game again, Resident Evil 3 Remake, is the direction's really good. Like even just simple scene direction is quite sophisticated. Like there was a scene where she just goes into a crazy room and takes a flash drive out of a computer and says something. But I was just watching the camera like swoops in and really like goes around her in a really elegant way that's not too obnoxious or like too fast. And, like zooms in on the drive and pretty artfully pulls out again and then goes really pretty elegantly back into third person. And I was like, that's the kind of thing you don't notice usually, or at least I don't, because you kind of take it for granted. But I was like, damn, that's a lot of work. And it was really expertly done. And that was just one random, you know, her picking up one item in this very, not even a long game, but, you know, relatively long game. And yeah, just really did hammer home what you were just saying. Like, dude, even games that are bad, which this one isn't, but even bad games have so many people working, and some of them are working really hard and believe in it. And, yeah, doesn't necessarily make the game good, but I think it's good to take a step back every once in a while and kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, even as a game designer, it is, you know, because I'm a game dev now.
Right. Yeah, we got to remember that, everybody. He's a game dev, so. Let him talk about this, please.
I've almost finished my third tutorial for fucking Unreal. Damn. So,
when do you start getting subsidies?
It'll take a little while. I got to make a fake trailer first then put that out, and I'll make it like it'll look like the Samus or something. And people are like, is this Metroid 4? You know, and I'm just like, it starts with ends with I'm 4, you know, and the people are like, what? Like, oh, it's crazy, right? Then I'll get the big bucks. But playing with those tools, right? Like,
yeah,
the idea that they're able to script this kind of like these moments and this camera movement and like just be so, so like bespoke in how they build these moments, it really is amazing, right? Like, it's incredible the amount of care that goes into these things.
Yeah. And then just the way people talk about them, like, again, I keep bringing this game up because I'm playing through it again right now. But this game was pretty, you know, people liked it, but I'd say it was pretty in Resident Evil 2 shadow in a way that I think was really unfair. But even this game, like, no one talked about any of that. They were just like, it's not as good as RE2, moving on. And I'm not saying everyone should bow down before every game that comes out. Like, it's cool. We have high standards. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But yeah, it's just interesting. So many people worked to create something really interesting and creative and awesome, and it just, you know, it made a bunch of money, but it was just a blip on the creative radar, and then everyone just moved on to something else. And that happens with movies and music too, but I don't know. It was just, I was reflecting a lot on that this week. Isn't that deep of me?
Yeah, you're one of those developer apologists that I love so much now that I'm a developer, right? So I hope I get the same level of of care from you moving forward now that, you know, like you, I'm a developer, right?
Yeah. We're both game developers.
We're both professional game developers.
Yeah. I'm really getting a lot of sympathy for my fellow game developers at Naughty Dog and Rockstar.
What else did you play other than Resident Evil?
The only other game I played was more Final Fantasy Tactics, and I'm still loving it. But again, I want to focus on the fact that it is such a strange game and how uneven it is, because now I'm through, like, I'm in chapter 4. I think I'm getting towards the end, though it's hard to tell. And I don't know if you remember this, but they give you a character and he's just completely overpowered. He essentially, if you use him, and you don't have to use him, but I don't know why you wouldn't, he completely trivializes every battle going forward in a way that's kind of cool, because I like that kind of stuff. Like, I like feeling really overpowered and just getting through content, but it is such a strange decision. Like, what? It's almost like they're like, yeah, you basically beat the game 3/4 of the way through, and then you get this overpowered character, and you're still having very epic, dramatic fights, because it's a very dramatic game. It tries really hard to take itself seriously. But then they just give you this character who can one-shot literally every single character, maybe two-shot, like the big scary boss. And it's such a bizarre choice. And I don't hate it necessarily, but it is so unusual. I'm curious if you remember that at all.
I don't really remember, but I do remember... I do remember only remembering the end of chapter 3, right? As like,
okay, yeah,
that was, yeah, it was the only thing that was like, man, this is the moment, right? Like,
yeah, and chapter 4 is by far the longest, yeah, which is,
yeah,
weird.
Yeah,
it's very strange. Like, the difficulty spikes in this game are utterly bizarre. It goes from like 0 to 100, and then down to like 20 for a long time, and then up to 100 again, and then down to 20, and then up to like 1,000. It's very weird. I don't know. But I'm enjoying it, and I am looking forward to beating it using this completely overpowered character. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I played a little bit of Mario just because my mother was visiting. She loves Mario. And I realized all the games I was kind of showing her were all Japanese games. And that wasn't intentional, but just reminded me of the, you know, the Japanese make a lot of really good games.
Your mom is such a weeb.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. She's like, what's this American RPG bullshit? Like, come on. Yeah.
Get this Octopath Traveler out of here, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Who the fuck is BioWare? Ew.
I'm with her, though. That's fucking... She's not. She nailed it
all
there.
All right.
She nailed it there.
Yeah. It was just fun showing this medium I really love to someone who doesn't have as much knowledge about it is always really nice and kind of a fun way to, yeah, get yourself enthusiastic about it again. And speaking of enthusiastic, I'm curious what you've played this week.
So I played a couple games, you know, of course, normal stuff, Final Fantasy 14, trying to do that. We talked about it last week, that Palace of the Dead solo runs. I'm trying to, it's very hard. I'm trying it. I'm like, wow, I cannot believe people just like hammer this out or can do it consistently, because there's a lot of bullshit. Like, there's a lot of stuff that just, you just get caught and you're like, fuck, runs over, right? Because if you die at all, you're just done.
Yeah.
So I've gotten into like the 40s, and that's kind of as far as I've made it.
Oh, you got to 140?
Not bad. No, just 40.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
just
okay.
The fourth.
Well.
Fourth tier.
Why do you keep trying there, Sprout?
Yeah. See, I feel like a Sprout doing this. It does remind you that like, the game itself is not very hard, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's very casual to play, which I think is great. It's one of the things I love about the game so much is that you can kind of just, you know, it's an MMO, it's epic, and there's so much stuff, but you really are never, you choose to be challenged, right? Like, you're like, okay, like, I want to do something challenging. It doesn't, if you don't want to be challenged, it doesn't you don't have like a lesser character, or like you don't get to finish it or see all the stuff, right? And so
absolutely, that's definitely why I've stuck with it as long as I have.
Yeah,
that's something I really love about it.
And so it's just so nice to find these little like pieces of challenge where it's like, no, I'm gonna take this. It reminds me of like when I was younger and you would kind of invent ways to make games hard for yourself, right? Like kind of like speedrunners do, but
yeah, like or making achievements before achievements were a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, like, yeah, I can remember, like, there was a time, like, in Counter-Strike where I would only use, like, the UMP, right? Which is an okay gun, but it wasn't good. But, like, in my brain, I was like, I'm just going to be the best UMP player that there ever was, right? Like, I don't know. I wasn't the best UMP player. But, you know, you just kind of invent these, like, hard modes for yourself. And I think Final Fantasy does such a great job of, like, kind of nurturing those things and like putting achievements behind them and like titles or mounts or something to be like, if you want to do some crazy shit, like we'll let you, you know, like we'll you know, I didn't even think to engage Pals of the Dead solo. And when you do it, it's like, are you sure you want to do this? So like the NPC is like, hey, are you really want to face this alone? And you're like, yeah. And it's like a totally different thing. It gives you like a scoreboard at the end. And like, you know, it's a whole different kind of way to do it. And I think it's so great that it's like it's a part of that system, you know, it's like baked in to try and like, you know, take it on.
Yeah, and it just shows thoughtfulness, right? Because like they thought about it too. They're like, I bet people would want to do this. They're in no way pushing you to do it, but they're like, if you do choose to engage in this way, we've thought about it too, and we're gonna encourage you in very lighthearted and like ways that can be really compelling.
I never even thought about it as a thing until I saw that other people did it, and I was like, oh yeah, of course.
But they did, the devs did.
But the devs did, right? So still trying to work at that. I also I talked about this game a few months ago for the demo was out on Steam, and it's finally out in retail, and actually I bought it. It's called Naraka Blade Point. It's I think it's Chinese. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Okay. I say I think it's Chinese because I'm pretty sure it's Chinese, but I went into the dialogue settings to try and get the lips to match the vocal sync, and none of the languages synced. And so I was like, Chinese didn't sync, Korean didn't sync, and English didn't sync, and those are the only three available.
Well, I kind of respect that. They're almost like, if it's almost better, it doesn't match anything. That way no one feels left out.
I guess. I mean, I wouldn't feel left out if
I wouldn't either.
If one of them worked, you know. My whole thing was like, I'm like, none of these like
they're showing preference to the language that they speak. I can't believe that.
Well, and they're so out of sync that like the lips will move and then like the voice will just come out like way longer or way shorter. Like it doesn't match at all. And so it's just like, which one of these is, none of them are even close, right? Like I don't know what it is, but it's a battle royale game. Third person, mostly focused on melee combat and like movement, right? And so you're like grappling hooks, like double jumps, climbing everything, like with like, you know, katanas and spears and diving on people and doing all these special skills and stuff. And it's cool. It's you know, it's a lot like a fighting game, right? Where there's, you know, like get ups and roll iframes and
nice
counters and parries and so it's fun. I mean, I like it, but it's, and this is kind of how I felt about the demo too. I like the game. There's a lot of like things I don't like about it as well though. Right. For one, I love, you know me, I love these stupid like achievement, like systems, right. Where you like do your dailies and you know, level up like your character with all these different achievements. But some of the achievements are just so bad, like so poorly made. And you have to do them sequentially to like get to the next tier.
I don't like that. Basically, you kind of pick and choose for sure.
No, and like, so I'm doing one character, and one of her achievements is to complete 10, like, they're called, like, prayer blessings, right? So there are these different little, like, missions you pick up, like, kind of if you played, like, Warzone, you know, you can pick up, like, the bounty ones or, like, the find the loot ones. So it has all those, but they're randomized that they don't show up on the map. So you just got to kind of find them, and they're random, and I need 10 of this specific kind, and I've played maybe, 40 games, right? I've done 3 of the right one. Again. I need 10 total, right? Yeah. And this is like, I'm halted in my progress. And I've gotten to the point now where I'm just like queuing games, dropping into a place that I think they'll have them and running around, like ignoring items, just trying to see if I can find one real fast. And it is the least fun fucking thing I can think of. You know what I mean? And, it literally is like, I don't even want to fucking play this game.
It's demoralizing and obnoxious.
Yeah, and I don't care if they're hard or if one's just like, this is the final one and it's so impossibly hard you might never get it. Like, that's fine. Yeah. But it's like, I'm just not making any progress, you know, like, at all. And so I'm just like...
Do you think it's the kind of thing where it's designed for a specific kind of person, or you think it's just totally misguided?
I think it's just misguided, right? Yeah. I think that they assume that, like,
This has to be in the game. Like, this is in all games, so we got to put in ours.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many ways where, like, a different, like, mission would make more sense. Or, like, you could make this mission so much easier, right? Every other BR that has these missions, you look at the world map, and it shows them as mini-map icons, right? So you're like, I'm just going to go here where there's the right one and just try and do it, you know? And this one doesn't. Like, I'm doing another character right now, and hers is, like, hit 50 people with a grappling hook. It's not easy, because it's a lot of people, but it's not hard. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's just clear.
And it's clear. You can get a couple, you can get a few every game, right? It's not going to take you that long, right? Where this is, like, the opposite. It's just, like, you play 10 games in a row and get none, and you're just like, I'm fucking done with this,
right? Yeah. No, but, totally. I think I'd feel the same way.
I wish that system wasn't there. Right? Because if it wasn't there, I wouldn't care. Like, I would just play the game. But because it's there, I'm like, I got to complete this. And then it drives me to play the game in a way I hate. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as we get older, or just like we play more and more games, I have less and less patience. I'm like, no. I'm not going to play a game in a way I hate. There's a lot of other games that allow me to play them in a way I like. So competition's fierce.
Yeah. And well, my psychology is so drawn to those hooks that I can't ignore it when I play. You know what I mean? It's almost impossible for me to just be like, I know that's there. I don't really care. It'll finish when it finishes. I'm just like, no, my brain's like, no, that's not allowed. Yeah. Like,
it's like nagging you.
Go find those prayers. You know, I'm just like, fuck, I guess I gotta go find them. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, someone could be like, hey, you know, you don't, right? And you're like, no, I do.
Yeah, no, I have to. It's the next thing on the list. I have to do it. Yeah. They're just like,
gotta go down a list.
You can just play for fun. It's like, What do you think fun is, motherfucker?
Yeah, who,
you
know, who, like, fucker, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah,
who the play fuck for
think,
fun?
Who do you think I am? Who do you think you are? What the fuck?
Get out of my house! How did you even get in here?
Get the fuck out of here! I have a gun. All right, you need to leave. So I've been playing that, and I do like the game. So you know, if you're not an insane person like me, you might like the game. But I am an insane person, and that does drive me a little crazy. But
that's too bad. It's like a thorn.
Yeah, and the characters, I think, look cool. The, like, character customization system's really good. Nice. Yeah, so there's a lot I like about the game, but that part, not so much. Also, the game feels like bullshit. So, because it's melee combat, and there's, like, knockdowns and stagger and all this shit, like, so much of the time, you're just like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but I couldn't move that entire fight, and now I'm dead, you know?
I hate that deeply, especially in something competitive.
But it's also kind of great sometimes, too, because when you get good at it, you're just like, I'm gonna wreck people up, you know? And there's characters like, so for the longest time I was playing this specific character, Yotohime, okay? And she is like a race car, right? Like, not that she's fast, it's just all she does is murder. Like, all her abilities are like attack, attack, attack. She can't escape. She's got no way to, like, you know, like, this game, because of, like, the knockdown thing, you're like, I need someone that's got an ability that'll, like, defend me for a while or teleport me away or do something to keep me alive. She has none of that shit. Her shit's just, like, attack, attack, attack. And so I was playing her because she looks dope. I was playing her, for, like, almost entirely at the beginning. And that's great, but, man, you get knocked down and you're just like, I got nothing. You know what I mean? Like, the moment you got to hit the brakes, you're like, oh, this shit is fucking falling apart. But there are characters that have, like, good, like, can turn invisible and teleport away and do all these things that kind of help balance it out. You're like, okay, I can disengage. I can go heal. I can, like, let this kind of resolve and then try again. So it's not as bad as it sounds. It's like, if you, like, are measured and kind of use your head when you're playing. But yeah, it could really feel like some bullshit. Like,
that's what I mean, it sounds certainly compelling. It's a shame there's those few things that are in there that kind of sour the experience.
Yeah.
It feels like that's always the case. Like, that's why when you find a game where there isn't anything that sours the experience or it's nothing major, it's always so rare, but also so wonderful.
That's why Final Fantasy 14 is the king of games, bro. I also have been playing Ghost of Tsushima. Director's cut.
I'm so glad to hear that. I've been looking forward to testing that out a little bit. So did you start over? Did you do a new game plus? Did you just run to the new island?
Okay, I will say initially, I didn't know where my save was. I was very concerned. I was
you didn't back that shit up at the PS.
Well, plus? It automatically backs up to the cloud, right? So there is a cloud save, but, like, even with the cloud save. So when I bought the game, it installed over, like, the PS4 version on my PS5, right? So I had the digital version. The digital PS4 version was installed on my PS5. And the thing is, this whole thing is fucking very complicated.
It is.
Which I... Sony, get your shit together, because this shit is nonsense, right? So I installed it. I opened it up, and I just hit continue, and then I was, boom, at the beginning of the game, right? Ready for the Mongol invasion. I'm in my armor. My uncle's next to me, and he's like, the Mongols are coming. We're going to go die in battle. And I'm just like...
You're like, no, you are.
No, you
are. I'll be fine.
Yeah. You're going to get caught. I know how this goes. I'm going to get a little fucked up, but you don't want to know where...
I'm going to turn into
a ghost. Yeah, you don't want to know where this is all leading, because it doesn't look good for you.
It's not good for you.
It doesn't look good for you, all right?
It doesn't look good for me either, but a little bit better than it does for you.
Yeah, I make some friends along the way, at least. All right,
I made some cool, eccentric characters.
Yeah, and I was just like, nope. So I closed the game, I load it back up, and there's a transfer PS4 saves option. I click that, and I don't see anything. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So I close that again, and I go into settings and saves. I'm like, there's my Ghost of Tsushima save, so it's there. And then I go into cloud saves. I'm like, it's there too, so it's there.
It exists.
So you got to go into your PS4, like, go into Ghost of Tsushima, transfer from PS4 save, and then click new game, and then it'll let you, like, load the old save into, like, this new game. I don't know. That's the part that got me, is that I expected when I had to load your PS4 save, it would be like, here's the save. But instead I had to, like, create a new, hit new game and then load it. I don't know why it was that way.
That's very counterintuitive.
Ultimately, the process was easy to do once I was just like, I guess I just got to click through on this shit, right? And of course, the worst part too is every single time you click anything, it's like, you're just going to erase all your current progress. Are you sure? Yeah. And it's like, what progress? Oh, what progress are you talking about? Progress? And it's like, everything's going to be gone if you do this. I'm just like, I don't know what they're saying, but I think
everything your boy Jid's been through.
Yeah, I think this
is all gonna be for nothing.
I think I'm on the right track. It's like, this is for real. Everything's gone. I'm just like, okay. And then I load it. It's like, now your legend stuff, man, we're gonna update that's all gonna be gone too. And I'm just like, oh god, yeah, just do it. But it's fine.
Take the plunge.
Yeah. Well, the problem is it's taking, like, the new PS5 stuff as, like, a save and then being like, we're going to override all that. And it's like, there's nothing there. It's dumb in a lot of ways. Still wouldn't make me want to buy an Xbox, but it's dumb. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, all that just could have been communicated better within, right? It could have just given you a little bit of instructions, or even had, like, a new menu option for the PS5 version that just says how to transfer save
or make something. It work.
Just make it work, or at least make it very clear what the process is so you didn't feel that anxiety.
I'm clicking the same motherfucking icon. on the same system, right?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Right? So just load it up and make it work. Like,
yeah,
that's all you got to fucking do, right? And if it means you can't protect your fucking $30 director's cut upgrade, then I don't fucking care. Just make it work, you know? I think that's a real shortcoming on Sony's side to not have this, to let the narrative be how confusing this is, or to have companies like IGN post guides on how to like move your save and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like
that's not the kind of walkthrough you want to read on IGN.
No, like that whole mentality, this whole kind of evolution of PS5 being like, here's how to fucking get your stuff. It's a black mark for sure. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen, right? Like, it's worse than, you know, like the drive stuff where it's like, you got to get the right drive with the heatsink. Like, that I understand, because it's always sort of been that way. Like, even upgrading your, like, Xbox 360 hard drives, like, you can just put any drive in there. You know what I mean? Like, you had to kind of know, like, what kind of drive you were getting, or, like, oh, some of them might not work, right? Like, that's kind of understood, but this is, like, it's bad news. It's real bad, right?
I will say, and I've said this before, like, don't fuck with saves. Like, that is the one thing that needs to be not fucked with on any level, as far as, like, it should never for a second feel my save file is in danger, ever. Like, that is time. You know what I mean? That's, like, the most precious commodity, and if at any point I had to go through what you described, where you're like, I hope I don't overwrite 80 hours of my life or whatever, that I should never have to feel that, especially on a modern, extremely expensive piece of hardware.
Yeah, and just get this, this whole version shit, like, you just gotta let it go, Sony.
I agree.
Like, 100%. Just let it go. I mean, they're so fortunate that Microsoft is so bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no games, there's nothing. Like, it just seems
there's no competition.
There's no competition currently.
It's not,
right?
That's not an excuse.
It's not, but it's like, it makes it so easy for them to just be like, we don't care. You know, like, figure it out. If you want to figure it out, figure it out. If you don't, we don't really care.
Yeah, you already bought a PS5, so
yeah,
go fuck yourself.
In a few years, you won't be loading PS4 game saves, so it won't matter. So for now, we just don't need to come up with a solution. You know?
Yep.
I like the expansion so far. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm like so detached from my initial playthrough as far as like frame rate and visual quality that I'm like, game still looks beautiful, still runs great. You know, like it's hard for me to be like, ooh, is this true 4K at 60 frames? Oh, man. Like, you know, before it was 4K, but not like this kind of, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not that like in the weeds about it. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful game, you know?
Yeah, always has been.
Yeah, there's some really great, like, there's a scene where you're trying to get into this, like, bandit camp, and, like, the doorway gets blocked, and so you got to go around and, like, climb these, like, seaside cliffs, but they're, like, these, like, really, like, sun-bleached, like, white stones, and it's gorgeous. Like, it's beautiful, just, like, this staring out from this bluff of all these, just, like, you know, white, like, look like whale bones, you know, and, It really is an incredible game. And like you get into their hideout, and it's just this like dug out like little like cove, like Pirate's Cove, and it's like, oh man, this is great. Like, this is great. This is fucking amazing. It's hard. It's very hard, the expansion content. And maybe it's because I'm just very bad, right? Because I haven't played in a long time. But the enemies are way smarter. Like, they change weapons, which is very hard, right? Like,
yeah, that sounds new. I don't remember that.
They never did that before. So you're so used to them, like, you know, shield guy, you know, whatever stance, bashes shield, he's dead. Sword guy, right? And dudes will be like, they'll have a shield out and just drop it and boom, double swords, and then come at you. And you're just like, this, I don't know how to react.
Whoa, we're breaking the rules.
Yeah, I don't know how to fucking react to this.
I'm calling the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, I mean, granted, like, I'm very out of practice. Like, you know, when I was playing Legends, when I was previously playing the game, it was so easy. Like, you got so used to just fighting tons of people and using your ninja tools to, like, deal with it. So,
yeah,
I definitely am, like, not as good as I once was. But, it seems much, much harder.
I feel like a lot. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of these open world games, and I think this one fits into that, I would put Red Dead Redemption as well in that, where I'm like, I really want to start it over again, but not immediately. Like, I want to enjoy everything that game has to offer while starting over, like, with the perfect version in a year or two, where, you know, everything's been patched and everything's beautiful, and I loved my initial playthrough, but I kind of hurried through it. And I love the idea of starting over and it looking even better. Like, I'm excited to play Red Dead Redemption 2 on a new PC or a new GPU whenever that happens. And I love the idea of playing Ghost of Tsushima again on the PS5 with everything patched in and not having to worry about the saves. But I totally hear you. It's not easy to hop back into something like that.
No, there's definitely... There's a lot of buttons in that game,
too. Yeah, well, it's like Breath of the Wild, too. It's like when you try and jump back into that game, it's very... there's a learning curve. You got to relearn. And once you relearn it, it's fine, but it takes time.
Yeah, I can remember jumping into Breath of the Wild and spending probably 30 minutes trying to figure out how to kite or a shield surf again. I was like, I'm going to shield surf. I was like, how the fuck do you shield surf?
It's very complicated.
It took me so long to just be like, okay, I got this, but... it goes to Steve the same way. So far, I'm not that hot on the story. Basically, you know, Jin goes to this island where there's more Mongolians. And one's like this, it's about witch doctors and shamans, basically, right? The new enemy type.
She's like psychic, right?
Yeah, the new enemy type is the shamans. Like, they're this, like, they're kind of like spear enemies, but they don't fight unless you engage them. But they buff their homies the whole time.
Gotcha. So you got to prioritize them.
Yeah, you got to prioritize them. And you get captured early. She feeds you some poison. And then from that point on, you're like having these like flashbacks and psychedelic trips. And which is fine. I mean, I don't know. That's never been a thing I've been that into in games. Right? Like, because I think it's kind of a common trope. Right? Like, Metal Gear has done this a couple times. And it's happening.
Far Cry.
Yeah.
In fact, almost every Ubisoft game, Assassin's Creed does it all the time.
Yeah. And I'm not that, like, I'm just not fond of that kind of.
You're like, just very anti-drug. I understand.
I love drugs. I mean, I'll say that right here, right now.
On record.
Well, not as much anymore. When I was younger, though.
I know. I still love them in theory. I just don't do them anymore. And it's not because I'm anti-drugs. It's because where the fuck am I going to... Well, anyway.
And my body, I just don't think would do well anymore. Right? Like, you know, when you're younger and you know, you're having a good time and...
You can bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, you can bounce back. I feel like, right, like, oh, I couldn't imagine.
I don't feel super bouncy these days.
No, I couldn't imagine what I would feel like in the morning, right? Like, but that being said, yeah, I don't love that trope in games, and I feel like it's constant in this, and I don't feel like any other people are like adverse to that trope, and so I don't think it's going to bother me. And it's not that like ubiquitous. It's not like you're constantly doing this thing. It's just it seems ever present.
I can see why developers would be attracted to that, because it allows them to completely experiment with mechanics and even art direction, right? Because if you're on drugs, you can, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I recently played through, is a great example where you take kind of drugs and then you go to the God's plane. So you go to Jotunheim and you go to Asgard, and it's fine. You know, it's Assassin's Creed. They play with a lot of that, but I can understand why that's attractive to art directors, because they're like, cool. It's an opportunity to do something completely off the wall without really having any narrative justification. But I hear you. It does kind of interrupt the narrative and can definitely fuck with flow.
And Jin has like a past on this island, and I think, you know, it allows them to explore that past, right? And like, you know, experience some of those moments again, and kind of, you know, it's like when you read a book, you know what I mean? It's funny, like I've gotten into reading. I've always read a lot of books, but there's a lot of, like, I think I might have mentioned this before, but I've kind of gone backwards from like anime, or first you watch the anime and then I was like, oh, I should read the manga to kind of get the details, and now I'm like I should read the light novel to really like get the detail of what's going on. And I do always find with the novel, it's so much easier to, like, the author gets to explore things that they try and convey visually in comics and in the anime, that I find a much easier time just reading and having it like directly pointed out to me, right? Like, I don't need to try and like interpret visual cues to kind of show me what's going on. And I feel like that's kind of what this device kind of provides, right? Is they can be like, oh, you're tripping out. Here's some like spooky inner dialogue. And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's kind of a crutch.
Yeah. A bit. I mean, I don't, and I don't mean that to say it's bad. It's just like,
no,
it's just like, oh, you know, it's a little transparent, I guess.
Yeah. That's what I would say. I agree. And it can, like, at its best, it does allow you to, yeah, fuck with new mechanics or really, you know, twist up the art direction in a really interesting way. But I agree. It's very, it's kind of predictable and sort of like, oh, I know what I'm in for here. I do think even the Legends kind of did that a bit more elegantly because it was more like we're telling the stories, but it's essentially the same idea, right? It's like, we want to explore surreal imagery related to the story we've told. What are some mechanics to do that? And one is certainly the protagonist takes drugs and the other is like, you know, what are other people saying about the mythology? And I think the latter is a little more compelling. But,
yeah, I mean, that's what I liked about Legends so much is that they were smart enough to be like,
yeah,
nah, we're slicing you off. You like make a character and you just do these stories, right? And like build your legend status through these stories. And I'm like, oh, that's a good way to like, we can't all be Jin. You know what I mean? Like we could just do these things and do this kind of surreal nonsense from this like surreal point of view, you know?
It was a cool way to tackle that for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, more Ghost of Tsushima. You love Ghost of Tsushima. I love Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. Like, then you'll enjoy it because it's more to do. And there's new moves and some new skills and new items. And
I think new haikus, right? More Fox Kitsune to run after.
Yeah, more Kitsune to run after.
Yeah. I don't know the last time I took as many screenshots as I did with Ghost of Tsushima. I think I might have taken more screenshots of that game while I was playing it than any other that wasn't like work related. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, the art direction is just perfect.
Yeah, it just is like, that's its greatest strength for sure. And it's good at everything else too, but that is just like, it is so picturesque.
Yeah, I mean, it's really apes on like traditional cinematography in a way that's just like great, you know?
Yeah.
It's really
vivid. It's so vivid. Everything's just, colors are so over the top and, yeah, it's a cool thing we talk about where it's like it's not really aiming for realism, although the character models are fine. It's really sort of a hyper realism that I think games are really good at, and I'm excited to see them do that more instead of trying to find a facsimile of, you know, of reality. Instead, they're like, what if we did reality, but like aspects of it were just dialed, amped up? I'm like, yes, that's I think what games will be really good at, and that's a good example of that.
Yeah, it's a video game. Reality can be better, right?
Like exactly. Well said.
Make reality better. Like make this. Put some flowers in this field, right? Like, why not make this field just a sea of flowers? Like, who doesn't like that?
And make the sky purple. Fuck it. Why not? I love that.
Why not? But yeah, that's mostly what I played this week. So let's take a quick break, and then we got some juicy ones to talk about.
All right,
Leo, I finally found my mouse. You ready to come back from this break?
I'm ready. Ready whenever you are.
I lost it. It was gone, but I found it now. We're good.
Where did it go?
We got a couple stories we're going to talk about this week. So the second we're going to talk about is Halo and their delays. But
Halo before, delays? I've never heard those two words in the same sentence before.
But before we get into that, let's talk about a little culture piece.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So do you know who Hassan is on Twitch.tv?
I will. As people may know, I'm not a big Twitch person, but I've heard of him recently due to, I suspect, what you're about to talk about. But I hadn't heard of him before.
All right. I'm just going to read this headline from the Daily Beast. And that sums, it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit on the nose. Socialist Twitch streamer endures wrath of Twitter for buying $3 million home by Teresa Isidro. Let's see what her hypothesis is here. Popular leftist Twitch streamer, progressive political commentator, and self-declared socialist. I thought that was funny the way she really leaned into that. Socialist.
Her job.
Hassan Piker,
I think she's doing a good job.
Has bought a house in the Los Angeles neighborhood of West Hollywood to the tune of $2.74 million. Piker's perceived class betrayal unleashed an online debate on leftist Twitter over what some considered to be a flat-out unethical practice of using income generated from videos that advocate socialism and working-class solidarity to purchase a home in, as one person said, a state that has one of the highest homeless rates in the country. And another argued, if you have money for a $3 million home, you have money to redistribute.
Yeah.
Leo, what's your hot take on this? Go.
Based on what you just said, and you've probably at this point read more than I have, I agree. I think if you're going to brand yourself with a certain ideology, especially if your ideology, I'm not sure how he managed to do this. Like, I don't know how you become a rich Twitch streamer by branding yourself as a socialist. I don't know how that all came about or how people didn't anticipate this coming. Like, I don't know how you can become wealthy by projecting an image of socialism. But I think if you are going to do that, you better be extremely careful about how, yeah, optics are going to be deeply important. And I think buying a very expensive house, I don't know. I agree. What that criticism was of, not only did he buy a very expensive house, he bought a very expensive house in a place that suffers from a pandemic of people who can't afford to buy houses. So it does seem on its face extraordinarily hypocritical. And I wouldn't normally care, except that if he made some of that money by appealing to people who believe in redistribution of wealth, it does seem like a betrayal of those values. I don't know that I'm morally against it, but it is certainly, it's profoundly hypocritical. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, let's say this. If he's in West Hollywood, he's probably within 3 miles of my house, right? Or my apartment. I live in a small apartment.
And you paid $3 million for your apartment, right?
Yes. I rent a small apartment in Hollywood. Same. Could be considered West Hollywood, right? I am, if you must know, I'm near Highland.
And whoa, careful. Yourself here.
People know where Hollywood and Highland is. And that's, yeah. I'm a little farther south than that, but that's the general vicinity. So on the western side of Hollywood leading into West Hollywood. And it, you know, this place is, I mean, it's got to be the poster child. Maybe San Francisco proper is probably a little worse for, you know, just massive wealth inequality, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The streets are covered in homeless people and feces and box houses and, you know, even my apartment, which is okay. It's on a decent block, but, you know, there's human feces out front. Our security guards are chasing people off, all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of par for the course for this area. And you know, I agree. And, you know, what you said earlier about, well, you know, the optics of it, it's all, he knows this, right? Like, that's the thing, right? He's not a stupid person. He's not an ignorant person, right?
Yeah.
He made a decision that having this home and having these, you know, having the benefits of wealth, right, mattered more to him than the optics or than kind of this this morality he talks about, you know?
Well, and that he made money off of. That's the issue.
Of course. It's a grift, you know what I mean? And And that's fine. I mean, it's fine. I really don't begrudge him for being a grifter. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a negative word. And so maybe it sounds like I do. But, you know, like, make your money, right? Like, my joke has always been I want to start two competing websites, right? Like, a leftist one and, like, a conservative one. And then they just quote each other back and forth to, like, drive traffic.
And they just escalate each other.
Escalate,
oh, I love that idea. Other, that's right? A great idea.
Because that is, like, you know, because that's what these grifts are, right? Is to, like, just kind of engage in this ridiculousness back and forth and then kind of build a fandom through that and then take their money. You know what I mean? Like just completely pro-capitalistically take their money and make it yours. And now you're wealthy and now you have these excesses, right? And so I'm not shocked. It doesn't surprise me. Do I think it's a little shitty? I guess. But, you know, I just don't know how you can claim that somehow he still believes in, right? Like, or maybe he believes in these things, but he definitely isn't willing to live these things, these values, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I could see how if you gave money to a Twitch streamer because he espoused an ideology that you agree with, and then he immediately betrays that ideology. I mean, I could see why that would be very irritating. No, I mean, you would feel like you got ripped off, right? I mean, I would. Like, if I gave my money to some, like, cool anti-Christian streamer, and then it turns out they're, like, a fucking Southern Baptist, and all my money is funneled into the Seventh-day Adventist church or whatever, I know they're different. But, like, I would feel pretty pissed off, and it would feel like he was lying. And that is unethical. I don't think it should be illegal, but it's, like, I don't know, that's shitty, especially if your whole thing is, you know, I just want everyone to be successful. I want it to be a meritocracy, and then to be, like, thanks for all the money, everybody.
Yeah.
It does seem pretty egregious, I think. Again, it shouldn't be illegal. I'm not asking for him to go to jail, but I can see why people are annoyed.
So do you know who Ethan Klein is?
No, I don't think so.
So he is a popular YouTuber, and he has a podcast called the H3 Podcast. It's very popular. He's also extremely wealthy. He was in the news because he was a part of like this fair use lawsuit. You know, he like took it to the Supreme Court. Like fair use and won, and it was a big thing. So he tweeted out, there's a difference between making millions on Twitch and paying 50% in taxes and Jeff Bezos being worth $150 billion and paying no taxes, before adding that he was happy Piker is crushing it, right? And I think that really kind of sums up the mentality of, I'm going to call them these people, right? Like, this kind of, especially new progressive wealth, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's someone should help these people, but that someone should be richer than me. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how much money I make, someone with more should deal with this, right?
Yeah.
I do enough, right? Is really their mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that that's incorrect, right? Like, I think that is... that is flawed logic, right? And if you want to compare yourself to Jeff Bezos, right? And let's be honest, to claim that Jeff Bezos pays, that Amazon has paid nothing in tax revenue is false.
That's definitely an oversimplification.
Right. Yeah. It's an oversimplification, right? If you want to say Jeff Bezos himself, because he earned money that stayed in Amazon stock and has not been liquidated, and so was not taxed, right? It's fine to have issue with that, but to claim that, like, to use that as your tool of, like, I do enough, it's those guys that don't, I think is irresponsible, right?
Well, it's just very transparent thing that they're doing too, you know? It's just like, hey, you're a rich person, now you're acting like a rich person, and just because you surround yourself in the trappings of something else, you're just one of them now. I'm sorry, but, like... Just like everyone else, you're part of the problem, whether you admit it or not. And that is kind of, it's always interesting when people are kind of shocked to learn that.
Yeah. And it is funny that, you know, they don't want, it just seems like they don't want the things they preach to happen, right? Like, cause they have to understand that someday that they will be those, like, it just goes down the line. Like this ideology of like, someone needs to do something, eventually you will be that somebody, right? Because there's just that much poverty in the world, right?
So like, do something,
right? Don't wait for the government to make you, right?
And and don't wait for like, well, the other person should do it because I can't. That's the thing. It is very irritating.
Yeah. You buy a $3 million house, you could have bought a $2 million house and helped and taken $1 million and helped people. Right.
Yeah. Or at least buy a mansion in Detroit or something. Like, there is something particularly egregious. And maybe that's just because I spent a lot of time in LA and you live there, about buying in one of the most expensive, in extremely close geographical proximity to an insane homeless problem. That does seem particularly thoughtless. Like, yeah.
What sucks is his house probably isn't that nice.
That's the other thing. It's like why he works from fucking home. Why would he buy a house in LA? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the real shame, right? Is that he uses this amount of wealth to really occupy, like, to really engage in kind of what is the worst about this culture.
Yeah,
and this hyper-inflated sense of value based on proximity and based on who your neighbors are and how close you are to fucking, you know, to Century City and the Beverly Center. And you know what I mean? And is there a fucking Louis Vuitton, within 2 miles of my house, because if there's not, my house isn't worth as much. You know what I mean? Because that really is what West Hollywood and Beverly Hills is. Like, I need to be close to Hermes. Okay. Yeah. Like, if I'm not in direct proximity to $20,000 handbags, I'm then nobody.
Why am I here?
Right. Yeah. I'm nobody. And it's just like, I guess that's who you are. You know what I mean? Like, you are the person that you live as. You're not the person you say you are. Right. So good luck pretending to be that person anymore, I guess. You know,
well,
I guess
that's that my. And yeah, totally. I 100% agree with you. I think the thing I take the most issue with is, like, if you made your money by pretending to be a different person, that is lying.
Yeah.
And that's lame.
That is lame.
Like, it's fine to say you're a socialist and then not be once you have money. Like, I think that's a very common thing that happens for, you know, morality aside, it just is what it is. But to have made all your money by pretending to be a socialist and then realizing once you, and I'm sure he still believes he is, and I'm sure he has some bizarre justification. He probably said, like, well, I was already paying that much in rent or something. But it's like, dude, you bought a $3 million house. And like you said, the funny part is when someone hears $3 million house, they think a giant mansion. But a $3 million house in Hollywood is not a mansion, I'd imagine. Yeah. Like, I'm sure it's a very nice house, but it's like not five, what people like are imagining.
Like 5 bedrooms, you know?
Yeah, like it's a nice house. 2.5 car
garage. Like,
it's not what you're imagining. It's not this palatial estate. It's like a, you know, a fairly nice house.
It might not have a pool. Like, it might not.
Exactly.
You know, like,
it might not. And his neighbors probably aren't that great. Like, that's what's so funny. And again, I'm curious why he wouldn't, if you're going to buy a really expensive house, which again, I have no problem with doing that. Why in LA? Like, what is the point? If you're a Twitch streamer, why would you want to live in LA? I don't know what his family situation is, like if his wife works in LA or whatever, but
why in WeHo? Oh. You know, like I can.
Yeah, exactly.
I can understand if you do a lot of business, your sponsor deals are in LA, you know, maybe you work with an org that's in LA, you got to kind of be around LA, but like just why in WeHo? You know, like it's just such.
It is weird.
I mean, it's Hollywood Hills, West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, like it's just. It's so opulent. Like it's, it's like you chose opulence to like, you know,
it's literally like he went so far to the other direction that in a way that's very strange.
Yeah. Like the optics are just terrible, but I guess good on him. You did it. You got these idiots to give you some money. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he can, I'm interested to see if he's still a socialist next week. I guess he will be. You know, I kind of equated it to like, you know, if I made like a fitness podcast, right, and talked about eating a healthy diet or something, you know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, it's kind of worse because it's in direct, like the act of being rich is in direct contradiction to, you know, his shtick, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to live by that shtick to believe that there's like validity in it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
But yeah, it's
very weird.
It's very weird. I mean, good for him, I guess, you know,
yeah, I guess it does feel like a grift though.
it's definitely a grift, right? Like, but I mean, that's social media, right? Like, I think that the thing is like, that's what everyone's a grifter, right? Like Sean Hannity does not believe all the shit he says.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's a performer.
They're all these people are performers. They sell ads. Right. They look at metrics. They try and drive numbers. Right.
Twitch is owned by Amazon, guys. Yeah.
None of these people are like blindly doing what their heart leads them to do. Right.
Yeah. It's hard to become a millionaire that way.
Yeah. It's why American comic books suck. Right. Because American comic books are written for authors, not audiences, right? And that's why they're poor, right? Like, unless you're
Jesus.
I mean, have you seen comic book sales in the United States? Are terrible.
I don't read.
No one reads American comics at all.
I was under the impression American comics were doing okay.
Only Marvel makes money, and that's for movies, right? Some of their comics do okay because they're like tied to the movies, but you know, let's put it this way: an American comic might sell. If it's like the biggest comic in the country, it might do like 500,000 units or something, right? And then like a Japanese comic will sell like 8 million to a population of like, you know, half the size or something, right?
Yeah, like I'm sure the newest One Piece like just trashes
anything. And it's because, you know, every Japanese comic is, those things come with surveys being like, did you like this shit? Rank them.
Yeah.
Rank them every week. Tell us what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we could not sell out harder. Like, yeah, that is not what we're worried about.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, in American comics, it's like, did you hate it? Good. I wanted to write.
Exactly. Yeah. Did it make you feel like shit?
Yeah. Perfect. I wanted to make Captain America a black chick. So fuck you, people. And it's like, okay. Like, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with the black chick Captain America. I'm all for it, actually.
But that sounds pretty good. If it were that simple, I'd probably buy it.
But yeah. But, you know, these things are done to serve themselves, not an audience. And I think that's, you know, it's not a popular thing to do. And Twitch streamers are definitely not serving themselves. They're catering to an audience to make lots of money.
Yeah. And again, it's they're using a platform that's owned by Amazon. So there is a bizarre, it's like when Al-Qaeda is pissed off at people and using Twitter to vent, it feels very disingenuous just on the surface. Like if you're a socialist Twitch streamer who's getting your message out using Amazon, I think you better face that on very clearly and articulately. Otherwise, it's going to be very hard to hold that position. And it doesn't sound like he even bothered to even pretend to do that in a way that's, I don't know, I don't care, but I could see why his fans would.
Yeah, and guys, use code MARKS on your next G Fuel order for a free shaker, okay? Just promo code M-A-R-X, MARKS.
Lenin05 for 24% off.
Oh, that's so good. All right, next story. And this will be a short one because there's not a lot to say about it. But Halo Infinite won't include campaign co-op and Forge at launch, 343 says. Halo Infinite will not ship with campaign cooperative play or Forge, developer 343 announced. Joseph Staten, who is the creative head of Halo Infinite and served as writer on the franchise up through Halo Reach, said, "The ongoing challenges presented by the coronavirus pandemic put a strain on development. This has caused the team to push several features out of Halo Infinite's launch date, particularly split-screen co-op and its campaign and the level editing platform Forge." That's all. I could keep
reading that. So the two things that people like Halo for.
Yeah, this is from Jeremy Winslow at GameSpot. I don't want to read your writing without telling the world who wrote it, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's good policy. That's just kind of reinforces that is a very troubled development, it sounds like.
I think Halo looks terrible. I mean, I remember we talked about like the multiplayer demo thing that came out, like the, I don't know what they called it, the alpha, some early build or whatever. I don't know, man. Maybe Halo's just not for me, but this game is troubled.
It's in trouble. Yeah. Well, and so if it doesn't have multiplayer, because that's separate, right? That's a spinoff. It doesn't have Forge, and it doesn't have co-op, so it's literally going to be $60 for a single-player campaign, right?
Correct.
Am I missing anything? No. Oh, and I guess...
I mean, you get multiplayer, but it's not like...
But multiplayer's free.
A free thing, yeah. It's free to play.
So that's weird.
It is weird.
It's like everything that people want Halo for. Like, even if it's a really cool single-player campaign, which I'd be surprised by, but even if it is really good, that seems very strange.
You know, I think this to me is the problem with Game Pass, right? Is that you've taken the value out of your games, right? Like, because no one will view it as like, oh, for $60, you only get X, Y, and Z. They'll say, I pay Game Pass. I get this for free. Right. And of course, give me the campaign when it's ready. I don't want to wait. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, give me the stuff that's ready when it's ready. And at that point,
well, they already used it to sell Game Pass, right?
Right, right. And so at that point, no one's thinking of the fact that they've been paying for Game Pass for, you know, 13 months.
Yeah, they've already spent hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars. And they're just like, no, it's like free. And I'm just going to get it. I want the campaign as soon as I can get it, you know? And
I don't have to pay $60 like you losers.
Yeah, and I'm not a loser. I'm not a Sony pony paying $70 for a new game like an idiot, right? Yeah. It's like I'm a Xbox smart guy, right? Like I paid I don't know what, $15 a month? I don't even know what it costs anymore. I pay $15 a month and I get stuff as soon as it's ready. And And it allows them to do things like this, right? Like without even really thinking about it, right? It's almost like, you know, it really, you don't think about what you're actually getting in that game package. And I think that's a shame, right? Because I think it's worse for consumers.
Yeah, I agree. It is troubling. And it is a weird precedent. And yeah, I think you're right. I think they couldn't get away with this. The part of the story I think that is so interesting, though, is like, dude, what the fuck is going on with Halo Infinite? I mean, in general, like, it's been a couple of years now, and it's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone doesn't see all of this, like...
It's really bad. Like, it's not good, man.
I don't know how I wasn't doing this math and being like, this looks bad. Like, this is a troubling, troubling development cycle. But it'll all work out in the end. You know, like, oh, man. What?
Yeah, exactly. This could be the nail in the coffin for that entire franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're fortunate because people will play multiplayer because it is basically, you know, it's free, right? And so it's like... Microsoft does a great job at one thing, and that's like generating numbers and then leaning on those numbers for the rest of their life to pretend that this thing was like a success, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember who I was talking to. Oh, someone on Twitter was saying that something about like that Sea of Thieves should have a higher score. Oh, so they're mad that Ghost of Tsushima got a high director's cut score, but Sea of Thieves has never been re-reviewed and has a low score, right? And I said, it's because Sea of Thieves sucks. Right. And he's like, tell 20 million people to play Sea of Thieves that it sucks. And I'm just like, who believes that 20 million people play Sea of Thieves? Like, you know, it was the first game on Game Pass, and Game Pass was free at the time. And a bunch, you know, they got a bunch of people to fucking make a pirate once. And then now that's the number forever. Right. 20 million pirates. You're dumb, Sony. We got 20 million pirates. Xbox, 20 million. Sea of Thieves, the biggest game it's ever fucking been. And then it's just like...
It's and you got to ask, like, oh, do you play Sea of Thieves? Well, no.
Yeah, no.
Do you know anyone who plays it? Well, my nephew does. He does, for the record. My nephew does play it and likes it.
Or I tried it once with some friends. You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly. That's what, and that counted. That's four people to your 10 million. Yeah,
I think that's what you hear all the time. And that's kind of my experience with Sea of Thieves. I think I've tried it twice with friends. Like, a group was like, let's play Sea of Thieves. And I said, sure, Xbox Game Pass is $1 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you know, they'll do the same thing with Halo multiplayer. They'll be like,
yeah, I will. We both will, I'm sure.
And they'll say, you know, 50 million fucking people played 50 Halo. 50 million
Spartans.
Yeah, 50 million Spartans. Halo's the biggest fucking launch of all time. You know? And it's like, I guess, man. You know? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, they like, obtusified success so much. Obfuscated is the word.
No, I love that. Obtusified is, I don't know if that's a real word, but I knew exactly what you meant and I love it.
Obfuscated is the word I was looking for, right? Yeah. Is that a real word?
It is, yes.
Okay. And they've, now I can't remember which one was right.
No, it's interesting. They've like, they've worked their metric magic on something that is like in a pretty, they've made it opaque intentionally so that they can kind of run the numbers however they see fit.
Yeah, they've created a success metric that is not tied to revenue or actual engagement. And then they use that as like their marketing byline, right? To be like, no, this is successful. This is something everyone loves. You're going to love it too, right?
And it's closed. It's like, well, can someone verify those numbers? No.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a thing on Reddit. I don't know why I got down this rabbit hole one time about Sea of Thieves and actual players. There was a whole Reddit thread about it, or a Reset Era thread or something. And it was something like that 20 million people played the game at one point, but like only like 30% had ever like gotten the first achievement, which is like to get on a boat, you know, or something like that, which, you know, so it's like these people didn't actually play the game, right? Like, if you never got in a boat, you never played Sea of Thieves, right? You just like launched it once, or I don't know what. I don't know what happened. I don't know how these people didn't get this achievement, right? Like, but the vast majority never did anything, right? And it's like, that's not like, how do you count these people? That's not real, you know?
But installing, it's like mobile game metrics do the same thing, right? Like, you install the game, open it once, immediately deleted it. Oh, that person's a player. That person's a lifetime player.
Yeah, it had a fake ad that told you it was a different game, and you downloaded it, and now it's like, yep. 10 million downloads. We're the best. Top of the charts. Everyone else download it.
Yeah. Right. Google's like, all right, good enough for us. Yeah.
Creating momentum is like the most important thing. Right. And yeah, they do a good job at it, I guess. I mean, it works. I'm shocked how many people like really don't even think about the things that they're repeating. You know what I mean? Like they do you think 20 million, like who thinks 20 million people played Sea of Thieves? You know, like, and then we're going to hear the same thing about the Spartans for sure. Right. What does he say? Something to fight for. Finish the fight.
Finish the fight.
Yeah.
30 million people finish the fight.
30 million Spartans finish the fight and played Halo Crucible.
You should write this down. Like, will Phil Spencer say this at the next Xbox event? Will he say over 25 million players finish the fight at the launch of Halo? Like, I can hear him saying that.
Yeah, he'll definitely say that. He'll say,
oh God, I hope so.
I hope he calls them gamers. I always says 25 million gamers or Spartans or. They need a better word for Xboxers, right? Like an internal.
I like Xboxers.
Right? Like an internal term for their audience, right? It's like, I don't know, 10 million micro boys finish the fight.
And girls.
Micro boys and girls. Microzers finish the fight, right? Micro theys.
Oh, I love that. That would be great.
That would be good. They need their own term. But definitely. He's definitely going to say that. Like, We should make it a thing, right? But yeah, that game's gonna be fucked. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's not looking great.
Totally fucked.
And again, I always feel like I need to say this. I know you don't, but I always feel like I do. I like Halo, and I would love it if Halo Infinite was fucking awesome and came out and kicked ass and really made a lot of people happy. Like, I am not invested in it failing at all. Like, I will get nothing if Halo Infinite fails. I would like it to be good, but I'll will get say some joy. From an honest perspective, yeah, you might get a little bit of joy. I won't, because I'm not a cynical dickhead in the way some people are. I want it to succeed, but I have to say I'm definitely not optimistic.
Hey, when I buy a mansion in West Hollywood, no one's going to call me a hypocrite. That's for sure.
Exactly. They'll be like, that guy's a fucking asshole. Who gave him $3 million? And you'll be like, I know, right?
I know, right?
It's fucked up.
Who would do it? What a fucking moron.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I do like Halo, but I think that stopped after Halo 3. Okay. Halo 3. Halo
3 is weak.
Halo 3 itself is weak, but Halo 4 is worse.
Nah, dude. Halo 4 is dope. It really is. It's really cool. I like
That's
it.
That's the air escaping my lungs while my eyes roll. And I'm just
whatever.
Like,
I just played it. When was the last time you played Halo 4? I just played it like 6 months ago.
I don't care.
Okay.
Well,
fair enough.
I don't fucking care.
I feel like I'm on Twitter with you right now.
You are basically. Like, I don't fucking care, man. Say what you want to say. Play it. Go play it right now. I don't give a fuck. I still don't like it.
Well, I uninstalled it immediately.
Of course. Of course. Such great games. Yeah. Good luck with Halo out there. I mean, I hope it's a good game. I hope it's cool. Yeah,
for real.
I hope multiplayer is good because I like multiplayer games. And yeah, it's free.
We'll definitely play it and talk about it. I'm excited about it.
It's going to be free. We're going to be shooting. Pew, pew. I mean, I think Splitgate's probably the better version of that game right now. But, you know, we'll see. So, thank you guys. Oh, did anything else you want to get into before we get out of here?
I just want to say, real quick, watch the Call of Duty Vanguard trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Not good. I mean, it looks like we talked about last week. We talked about this somewhat extensively. Like, it kind of fulfilled every troublesome prediction we had where it was like, oh! This could not be a more generic World War II Call of Duty trailer, which Sledgehammer made this one. And they made the last World War II one that was the most generic game I've ever played. And I'm really surprised that they're going in this direction again. And the trailer, you know, it's a cool trailer. It looks great. Fidelity is nice. You know, of course, it's super high production values. But it just looks so uninspired and so... Like, here's the most generic World War II Call of Duty you could possibly imagine. Here it is.
I kind of passively watched the trailer. I was reading an article about it. I'll be honest. I didn't really watch it. Is there a moody, slow remake of a song in the trailer? Because if it doesn't have that, it's not going to do well.
I don't remember. So probably.
Like, I need a hero from Shrek, but done in like, I need a hero.
Yeah, all right. Or hey, now you're an all-star, but just like super slow with like a twangy guitar.
They should just all be Shrek songs.
Dude, there you go.
Right? Everything should just come from Shrek. Shrek should just be the origin of culture. All right?
Yeah.
And I think we'd all be better off for it.
Well, you're the game dev, so, you know. When your trailer comes out, I'm looking forward to hearing.
You got a point, my friend. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. Tech Yeah Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, everywhere. Yeah, that's it. Go play some games, buds. Woo!